The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 35. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapter 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. From there Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syro-Phoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf, had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our gospel lesson today, Mark 7:31 to 37, is our sermon text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and also school children of Grace Lutheran School, in the summer during my college and seminary years, I would often take my friends from the Midwest who visited here on tours of Central California. This usually included Santa Cruz beaches, redwood forests, Napa wine country, and sometimes Yosemite National Park. Every Midwest visitor also got at least a one-day guided tour of my birth town, San Francisco. Before Pier 39 beefed up the attractions at Fisherman's Wharf, the favorite place for my Midwest tourists in San Francisco was Chinatown. It was exotic. It provided immersion in a completely foreign culture, or at least you can imagine, in some places there that you really were in China or Asia. This was particularly so for certain places off of the tourist drag of Grand Avenue in Chinatown. Here I'm thinking of Stockton Avenue with all of its produce markets and fish tanks and open-air meat markets. I'm thinking of the back alleys where no English letters could be seen on signs and hardly any English was spoken except by tourists. I'm thinking of the Chinese temples with the large signs in English, "Do not take pictures." Some of my Midwest visitors did not enjoy Chinatown. They didn't understand their surroundings. They didn't understand the conversations. And they couldn't buy things or ask for help in English anywhere except on Grant Avenue. They felt helpless. Some even felt dumb. This feeling of being helpless and dumb is something that many people have experienced all of their life in their own culture and among their own people. Today in the United States, we have special laws and special organizations to help out these people under the general term people with disabilities. But even with all this help, they often feel helpless or dumb. One case that comes to my mind was at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Olivet, Missouri, where my family and I were members many years ago. Emmanuel had a member, a very special person named Angela, who was completely blind. She had a seeing eye dog with her all the time named Angus. Angus would go underneath the pew, so you never know he was there in church. Now, Angus was not a comfort dog or emotional support dog. He was Angela's eyes. When she walked to church or to a store, she could nowhere go outside of her house without him. Another case that comes to mind was when I was a child. One of my father's best friends had a son my age named Greg, who was severely mentally retarded. I didn't go to school with Greg, but I knew him because our fathers took both of us fishing together. Greg really wanted to know and to learn how to fish, and eventually did learn how to do that with his father's help. Greg was frustrated by things that were easy for me and other kids. Greg eventually moved to the Lutheran Good Shepherd Home of the West in Tarabella, California, where he may still live today, or somewhere in that area. Some of you may have seen the deaf communicating with sign language. Some also communicate via speech, but it still takes them an enormous amount of work to do what comes effortlessly to others. One of the pastors in my previous circuit in Evansville had training in sign language. Deaf people of all sorts came to his church because they could hear the gospel there and receive the sacrament and associate with fellow Christians. In our gospel, a man was brought to Jesus who was deaf, but he was able to talk to some degree. There was no sign language in those days, so his attempts at speech were the very best he could do to communicate. Jesus had pity on the man in his predicament, and so healed his deafness and his broken speech. Now, unlike other religious miracle workers, Jesus did not use this man to boost his image and popularity. In fact, he tried to keep the healing quiet, but that was to no avail. Mark gives us the story headline as it went around the communities. The deaf hear, the dumb speak. If there are newspapers, that would have been in the headlines. People shared this good news by word of mouth and talked about the wonderful things that Jesus did. And that's how news traveled in those days. This story demonstrates that Jesus' reputation was in his own day based primarily on his miracles, not his teaching. The Gospels recognize this by distinguishing his audience. When it says the multitudes, it's talking about the thousands of people who come for the loaves of bread and fish, for the casting out of demons, the healings, and the other miracles, sometimes for themselves or their friends, and other times just to watch. The disciples are inner circle of those who come for his teaching and his personal fellowship. There's always the multitudes, and then there's the disciples. What should we learn from this gospel? First, it demonstrates Jesus' concern and mercy for the most disadvantaged people in society. This was one definite sign of the Messiah, as was prophesied by Isaiah, who wrote, "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy." Isaiah 35:5-6. And this was the evidence that Jesus used to prove to John the Baptist that he was indeed the Messiah. That's what the people of the Old Testament were looking for, and the people of Jesus' day should have been looking for in the Messiah. Jesus told John's disciples, quote, "Go back and report to John what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." Matthew 11:4-5. Second, this gospel lesson teaches us to have similar concern and mercy for such people. And this is the basis of Christian charitable work, which has been part of the work of the church since its very beginning. The church after Pentecost established the work of deacons to care for widows, Acts 6:1-7. In Joppa, the apostle Peter raised back to life a disciple named Tabitha, also named Dorcas. She had dedicated her life, once becoming a Christian, to helping the poor, Acts 9:36. As the church grew and became more established, it founded hospitals for the sick and homes for the aged and orphans. The Romans generally didn't care for such people, and if you didn't have a family, you were generally dead within a short amount of time. The Christians took care of these people. Today, the Christian church has many institutions that care for the mentally retarded, the blind, the deaf, the mute, the physically immobile, and other things. Although our government is involved today in this sort of care, it is still a Christian responsibility and task. Our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has a Department of Human Care Ministries, which oversees and coordinates Lutheran charitable work and care here in the USA and around the world. Third, this gospel lesson demonstrates Jesus' power over the most complex natural systems. He was not a magician or snake handler, and those things can be faked. But he accomplished real and lasting repairs to physical systems in the human body that physicians today are still incapable of. Fourth, this gospel lesson gives hope to those who have serious disabilities, whether they were born that way, suffered an accident, or maybe have acquired their problems through age. Our sure and certain hope is that God will repair the bodies of all Christian believers in the resurrection. Disabilities that you or others may have are not part of the essence of their being, but are temporal accidents that will be cured and vanish in the resurrection of all flesh. Fifth, this gospel lesson teaches that the distinction between multitudes and disciples continues today. In some cultures, such as ours, where Christians are still in a dominant position, many people attend church for social reasons. But Jesus reveals himself and calls his friends, those who listen to, remember, and keep his words. Jesus said to the Jews who believe in him, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 8:31-32. Those who cling to Jesus' teachings and believe in them are his true disciples, and they are the ones for whom he prepares his supper and many other benefits. May Jesus continue to astonish you with his miracles and with the wondrous teaching of his gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.